This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And happy race day at 8:06. It is on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Always brought to you by some great sponsors. All these tracks out here, this is great. Mobile International Speedway at Five Flag Speedway. Great sponsors and partners of the show. The Southern Super Series coming. Wait until you hear about this. Tim Bride standing by. Also, Sunny South Raceway. They're on board with us. And next Friday and Saturday, the 9th annual Race to Glory. It's the biggest race of the year for that track. We'll talk about that. And I tell you, this kid, and I got to call him a kid, is 14 years old, ran a pro late model last weekend in Pensacola, number 51, Perry Patino. In just a couple of years, this kid has started from karts. He's also running the Buzz class, which is kind of like the Stingers along the Gulf Coast here. He's won up at Montgomery, and they've actually, I believe, have a bounty on this kid. We're going to talk a little bit about his racing career and how he's actually got Josh Hamner as a crew chief and helping him on his pro late model. So good stuff there. And then Dustin Long with Motor Racing Network online at MRN.com. We're going to talk the All-Star Race. So much to talk with NASCAR. Of course, the passing. Carl Edwards does a great thing. Grabs a pole for the All-Star Race, all while honoring Dick Trickle. If you haven't seen it, he's got Dick Trickle's name on the car, which is something. And we got to speak a little bit about the Indy 500. Such a big race weekend coming up next weekend. EJ Vizio yesterday had the fastest time. Listen to this. A 229.537 before the rains came, about 345. Another couple hours, Marco Andretti said, we would have reached 230 miles an hour. As I bring in Tim Bryant, could you imagine going that fast in an open-wheel car?
Well, you know, back in the days when they were running 160 and 170, you know, you thought, gosh, is 200 ever achievable? But certainly they just went right on past that.
Oh, yeah, amazing stuff. Now, we're going to see some good speeds, but not like that at your track, let me tell you. But I'm excited. These guys, you guys have come up with a great deal with five tracks altogether, I believe. And it's the Southern Super Series brought to you by Sunoco. And this has been some amazing racing. And you're getting all those big names that you want to see. And then they're coming next weekend. So you're going to do a double show Friday at Five Flags, Saturday at Mobile International Speedway. This is really next weekend the biggest, I think, race weekend of the year, almost besides the Snowball Derby, as far as a lot of people time off and a lot of people make plans to come to the track. So why are we going to come Friday and Saturday? Tell us about it.
Well, I tell you, it's the biggest thing to happen to super late model racing, certainly in the South in many, many years. Not to be confused, the Blizzard Series in Pensacola will open next Friday night. The Miller Lite Series will open in Mobile next Saturday night.
Right.
The Gulf Coast Championship Series we've been doing successfully for the last few years is still intact. However, we're now part of the all-new Southern Super Series, and that's going to add to the field cars. We've already had some guys in testing. The speeds are, you mentioned speeds, they're a little bit faster, and we're looking for a few more cars, and I think it's going to be an awesome weekend.
Well, you know, the off season, you guys did some work on the racetrack, and I was over there a couple of weeks ago and got to play over there. Loved it. Had some motor issues, and then of course blew it up last Saturday. But the track does seem to have a lot more grip. Are you hearing that also from these guys with the supers coming and testing? Have they noticed any difference from what you guys have done to the track at all?
Well, I'll tell you a real quick story. John Hunter Nemechek was in town testing last week at both tracks. I was going in the gate at MIS as they were coming out. They did testing both tracks that same day. So they did a morning test at MIS, and I caught them coming out. Said, well, how did it go? They was real happy with the track. He loves the track. He loves the speed at MIS.
Good.
And I said, well, if I get my work done here in time today, I'll see you guys later this evening. So it was almost dark, and they were pulling out of the gate again.
Wow.
And Pensacola stopped to talk to him. And he told me the time that he turned that I'm not even going to repeat, but it was below the track record.
Wow. Wow.
I just think we're going to be in for a real treat both places next weekend.
Oh, yeah, and you're right. Now, let's talk about the local classes also, because Friday, obviously, you're going to have you get the Modifieds coming back, and those are always put on a show. And the Snowball Derby is always great, but one of my favorite races is that Friday night when you've got something like, what, 30 or 35 open-wheel Modifieds on that track. It's amazing.
Well, the Modifieds are putting on a great show, and I guess we got to find if someone can beat the Charlie McAdams team. Don Crocker and Brandon Howell have kind of dominated Modified racing this year, so they'll be looking for a doubleheader next weekend, and somebody will be looking to knock them off.
Well, let's talk about the Sportsman again, a guy who's been on top, that 33 car, and he's only faltered once or twice this year.
Yeah, Steve Buttrick's had a phenomenal year, but, you know, he's got people banking on his back bumper. Yeah. As far as fast as he is, he's a very astute driver, and he knows how to win, but there's several other guys that does the same thing, including Mark Barnhill, by the way. He's won a couple of races. Red Dog is running really good, knows how to get the job done. Came so close there 2 weeks ago. He passed him on the last turn. So Brandon Fowler also ready for a win. That could be anybody's game next week.
Well, you know, I want to talk about last Saturday at Mobile International Speedway. You mentioned Brandon Fowler. There is a car that we're used to seeing up front was in the back of the pack, and his car sounded sick. I blew my motor. Red Dog blew his motor. It sounded like Jamie Corey, the bomber car, was not running on all cylinders, and they had problems, had to pull in. I believe Benny Bender blew his motor. A lot of motor issues all of a sudden, and it's in several classes. What do you think of that? Everybody's pushing the limits.
I think it's strictly coincidence. In hindsight, there just wasn't a whole lot that went right about anything last Saturday night at Mobile.
Good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
We certainly wished at 11 o'clock last Saturday morning we might have called those races off. But we felt an obligation to all the guys that had been working hard on their cars all week long, that wanted to race, to try to wait out the weather, and we did. And it kind of hampered the turnout. And it was honestly wasn't the best race program we've ever had. But nonetheless, we're going to move on and keep on doing what we're doing. And I think the car counts will pick up.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly we're hoping the spectator counts will pick up, because those that hadn't been coming have been missing some great racing. So we'll just hopefully this weekend we'll turn things around and get some momentum going, and we can build racing back what it should be.
Well, and with a double show like what you've got, you get the Miller Lite 125. Now, is this the Prolate models? Can you give us a little bit more information? We have the Prolate models, and they also have the Super Late models come. So what are the difference between the two cars for a fan that might be listening? Because they look identical.
Yeah, the cars look identical and virtually are identical. Yeah. Except the hood, the Super Late models, carry a couple extra 100 horsepower. And, with that comes probably some adjustments suspension-wise to get that power to the ground. And the drivers have to be very smooth. They have to take care of their tires. Again, these races this year, the Gulf Coast Championship Series, are now increased to 125-lap races. So that's going to throw some extra strategy in. We're thinking there's a lot of question marks going into next weekend and how they're answered. It's going to be interesting.
Well, and I know you've got the car count that'll come with the Supers. Let me ask you also, I saw on Five Flags website, fiveflagspeedway.com, you're ready already, promoting the 46th annual Snowball Derby, December 4th through 8th. But this is the time to get your tickets, and if there's an opportunity to upgrade, how does that work?
Well, we're at the ticket renewal process right now. Those folks can renew seats that they had last year.
Okay.
And as the order they come in, they can request upgrades. That's all going on till August the 1st. At that time, we'll spend a couple of weeks processing those upgrades. So if folks want better seats than they had before, they're encouraged to go ahead, renew what they got, and their chances are better that we can get them moved up, over, however, to a different section, whatever it may be. And then about mid-August, go on sale to the general public.
Okay, so that's if you want to get your Snowball renewals, this is the time to do it, and do it quick. So it's amazing that we're already in the middle of May, and this year's gone so fast. And like you have said, at both tracks, Five Flags and Mobile International Speedway, the racing has been incredible. It's been side-by-side racing in every class, not just one class dominating, from the Pro Trucks to the Super Stocks, all the way from the Bombers. And now we're excited to see finally back on the Gulf Coast the Super Late. So, Tim, we appreciate it, as always, you guys coming on board and being a part of the show and getting the word out about the racing that's around here. We've got some good stuff coming up next weekend.
Well, we surely do. And one thing I'd like to add in is 2 weeks after that, Pitts and Sons Towing Demolition Derby at Five Flags Bay, along with Fan Appreciation Night, just be $5 to spend that night. So we're already looking forward to that. Two big race events coming up in at MIN.
And there you go. That's going to be great. Tim, we appreciate it. As always, you have a good off weekend, if there is such a thing, and we'll talk to you next week.
We're recharging our batteries, getting ready to go for a big weekend next week.
There you go. Tim Bryant again with Mobile and also Five Flag Speedway. Coming up next, we've got more racing to continue, taking it to the short track at Sunny South Raceway. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And later today, we podcast the show at usfdracing.org. And find us on Facebook. It's United States Fire Department Racing. And what we do is we go out and race for pretty much bringing awareness to the volunteer fire departments all around the country. We've been able to raise a lot of money and also merchandise for these guys all through racing. So it's pretty cool what we've been able to do. Kane Motorsports, thrilled to be a part of that. Still to come, young Perry Pitino. Let me tell you, this kid ran a pro late model this past weekend over in Pensacola, and he also runs a Stinger or a Buzz car up in Montgomery, and he had just started racing about 2 years ago. He's 14, and he's already making a name for himself around the coast. So we're going to talk with Perry here in a little bit. Also, again, like we mentioned, Dustin Long with MRN Motor Racing Network, All-Star Race. We're going to talk NASCAR and a little bit about that Indy 500 coming up next weekend. Again, speeds of 200 and almost 30 miles an hour. 229.5 was the fast time yesterday. Unbelievable. And again, this is huge. This is the biggest race of the year coming up next weekend, the 10th annual Memorial Day Race to Glory. It's May 24th and 25th at our own private Bristol, I call it, Sunny South Raceway. And Joe McArdle's on the line this morning to tell us about it. Joe, hey, we take a weekend off to get ready for the biggest weekend of the year. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And yes, we take the weekend off. I'm going down the track today and clean up a little bit. We're remodeling our parts room and doing several things at the track. But yeah, take the weekend off and get ready. That's a big one coming up next weekend.
And this is the 10th year you've done it. And again, tell the story when you got involved a few years ago, we'll say, at Sunny South. you wanted to do something special. You wanted to do something that, you know, that celebrates America, you know, also with the military, but also tied into racing, which a lot of tracks do, but you've taken it to the next level.
Well, like I say, 10 years ago, Brad Busby at the time was the promoter at Sunny South, and I went to him and said, look, man, you know, why can't we do something? He says, go for it. So I got together with a couple friends of mine, and we put up some money, and we put some flyers out, and we had some ideas. If some of the old-timers like me remember, we had we had the balloons, we had the airplane buzzed the inner field.
Oh, wow.
One time out of 10, if you can believe this, I got the honor guard, the color guard down there. One time.
Wow.
And I've tried every year. But 1 year we got it together and done our little thing. And it went from two or three people coming out of town to 20 people coming out of town. We used to, on Friday night, we would give them the track for practice.
Well, yeah.
So many people started coming. They said, well, why can't we just race and do points? And I said, okay, let's do that. So now, this coming Friday night, the 24th, it'd be a regular night of racing, of all divisions. Extra attraction will be Junior One, Champ Cars, and the Mighty Mites. And then we'll come back with our main divisions, Bando, Stinger, Legend, Pro Challenge. And then Saturday, we will open the track at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we will qualify and run features only. And I might add that it's looking real promising. We've got some serious out-of-town people coming to see us.
Well, this is going to be a regional qualifying race for the Legends Bandoleros because they use the IMEX point system. So explain how that works for fans who don't know.
Well, across the United States, it's a three-point system. Winner gets 100 points, and then it drops three. But and you have to have five people in your class in order to receive 100. Four people, you know, you'll get second place points. But what it is, regional qualifier, and that's all the sanctioned tracks like Sunny South.
Yeah.
We pay a price for the privilege of running races. And, you know, it's what it is, you know. And the regional qualifier says each year we have a dirt national and asphalt national.
Yeah.
And what it says is if you say pull this year, the asphalt national will be held in New York. They're saying if you pull out of Mobile, Alabama, and pull to New York and attempt to qualify and say you blow the engine.
Yeah.
Well, if you had won the regional qualifier here at Sunny South in your class, say a pro, he had won here at Sunny South.
Mm-hmm.
The regional qualifier would guarantee you a starting spot in the feature.
Wow.
So it's important. You know, it's nice to have something like that in your back pocket when you go racing. Oh, yeah. And that's what it is. It's a regional qualifier. There's several of them given out each year. Sunnysoft has been fortunate to have gotten the regional qualifier for the last 8 years, I think it is.
Wow.
First 2 years, we didn't have it. But it works. It's a nice setup.
Well, and again, like I said, this is going to be a special two-day event. So, I mean, you do have people. You'll have them coming from the Carolinas, from Texas. Imagine them on the Atlanta area as well, because you're known for this area for only being, the South's finest one-quarter-mile high-banked asphalt track. People know it like that, but also with that addition, with the fact that they can actually score points for coming out and race, they flock to your track.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You've actually got some people on the circuit or the series, as they say, that will actually call a racetrack and want to know how many pros are running tonight and yada, yada, yada. And they'll go to the place where the more people's in that class to receive those points.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course the racing's usually better too.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's talk about also a new sponsorship for this race coming up. You've added something to the purse to the classes. Explain what these lucky winners are going to get. This is great.
All right. Well, in the Bandolero Legend class, you know, I've been working with Onyx.
Mm-hmm.
In the past 2 or 3 years, I was the parts man myself personally, the parts distributor. We've had some dealerships there before that didn't really push it. So, you know, I come back this year. Sunnysoft is an official parts dealer for Bandolero and Legend Parts.
Oh, that's perfect. You can get it right there at the track. That's perfect.
Right there at the track, and we increase in inventory every day.
Good.
But I went to these people, and I said, look, man, you know, y'all want to grow the sport? Help us out here. What do you want, Joe? Well, you don't really want to know what I want.
Yeah, but here's what I'll take. That's right.
Yeah,
there you
right.
go.
I need a set of tires for the Bandolero, and I need a set of tires for Legend. Not a problem, Joe. So,
great.
Along in those two classes, along with first place, Legend pays $1,000.
Wow.
Bandolero, because we can't pay money,
yeah,
we will give a free set of tires to the first place winner.
Wow.
Okay, I looked at the two other classes.
Mm-hmm.
There's Pro Challenge.
Yep.
There's Stinger.
Yeah.
I called John Litzinger, who has since moved the Pro Challenge dealership out of Tennessee to Florida. I said, man, we got to do something here. So because the Pro Challenge run on Hoosier, you can't cut it. You can't.
Right, yeah, no prep.
Right. We're going to give the gift certificate and let you get your own sizes.
That's great. So even they're going to get four tires. And the Stingers, too, possibly.
Well, the Stingers I put on there, 10 cars or more. Well, some of them guys have been with us all year. I'll go ahead and make the big announcement now. We will give, Sunnysoft will give, and I have them in the inventory as I speak.
Oh, wow.
Sunnysoft will give 4 Stinger tires to the winner of the feature.
Well, that is something. See, that's something that no other track's doing. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get the money, you're going to get a trophy, and then you're going to get a free set of tires, and that's worth a few hundred dollars at least. It depends on what class you're on. That's on the low side. You know what I'm saying, Joe?
Well, I understand. And we appreciate what people are doing. We know hard time. We know better than anybody how hard it is out there. But you've got to do what you got to do. You know, my dad used to tell me, you take care of the people who take care of you.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So come on down, enjoy some racing, and let the rubber fly, because we got you covered.
And there you go. And real quick, before we let you go, the Bandolero feature will be 20 laps. Stingers will run for 25. The Pro Challenge, a long race here at 35 laps. Legends will do 35 laps as well. So that's going to be big time. And again, where do we find your track off the interstate, Joe?
Come in west out of the tunnel. You can get off on exit 10. I tell everybody to go to exit 4. Exit to the right, go across Interstate 10, go to downtown Grand Bay.
Don't blink.
And hit the light, hang a left on Highway 90. Go east 3 miles, and I'm on your left. Now, if you choose to go 10, get off in front of the big track.
Yep.
Stay on Highway 90, follow your nose for 6 miles going west. I'm on your right. Can't miss us, man. We're there.
There you go, Joe. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Go mow that grass at the track, and we'll see you next Friday night.
We'll make it look pretty. Thanks a lot.
There you go. Absolutely. That's going to be a huge race again, and the biggest race they do out there, Sunny South Raceway. So hang on. Still to come, Dustin Long with Motor Racing Network. He's got lots to talk about from Charlotte. How about Kyle Busch getting his fifth career win at Charlotte last night? Man. If you're betting money, put money on him for the All-Star tonight. $2 million to win. We'll find out more there. Coming up next, Perry Pitino. Again, a young 14-year-old racing sensation. He drives a number 51 in just a few short years. Again, from karts all the way into pro-lay models. We'll talk about him next. He's on the line. Perry Pitino next on FM Talk 106.5 and Full Throttle Racing with Kane. The show, it's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5 later today. Again, we're going to podcast the show at usfdracing.org. That's United States Fire Department Racing out of Kannapolis, North Carolina. We race with them, raising funds and awareness for volunteer fire departments. Again, we've raised a lot of money and a lot of equipment, so check them out on Facebook also, usfdracing.org. Still to come, Dustin Long live at Charlotte, the All-Star Race coming up with MRN, Motor Racing Network. We're going to talk about Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, and the rundown of the All-Star Race and how this works out. And like I mentioned, I've been talking about all morning long, there's this young driver, a racing sensation. He's 14 years old, and he drives the number 51. In just a few short years, he's gone from go-karts into late models, and right now he's running those all together and another car, too, called the Buzz. Now, before I bring in Perry, I want to bring in his dad, Richard. And first of all, Richard, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. I'm thrilled to have you guys on. You have been on the road, actually. Now, where are you guys based out of? Where's your racing program?
We're right out of Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay, so you guys actually race over at Montgomery to track, but today you're on the road already at South Alabama Speedway in Op, and you guys got your racing program started and running. Before I get into talking how Perry got started, first of all, you have an amazing story. You're from Bogota, Colombia, and you got into America from swimming and actually qualified for the Olympics. So you've always been a competitor. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I swam in Colombia since I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And I was recruited to the University of Alabama. So I swam here from 87 to 92, and in 92 I went to the tryouts for the Olympics.
Wow.
That's how I came to the States. So it was a great experience for me. So I've been competitive all my life.
And then you switched from swimming to racing, and we were talking off the air, and you said they're very similar. You get the same kind of butterflies, but, man, you've taken it to the next level in your racing program. How did you get the bug? How did it bite you? Because I love the story.
Well, I have a company that does screen printing embroidery T-shirts, mm-hmm. and I used to sponsor one of the fellows, a friend of mine that ran the street stock.
Mm-hmm.
One day he just as a thank you said, why don't you get in the car and do two laps just to see what it feels. And it was probably the worst mistake I ever done in my life, or the most expensive deal I ever done in my life, because I got the bug. I just got hooked to it. That was about 5 years ago. So I started racing a street stock. I got my own street stock. I started racing that 5 years ago. And my son, obviously every time he went with me to the racetrack, he wanted to get in the car and wanted to get in the car, but he was way too little then.
Yeah.
And finally, we got him a go-kart about 2 years ago, and that's how we started.
And since then, he is running. Now he's also running the go-kart. So you guys everywhere, somewhere on the weekends racing, you're running a go-kart, you're running the Buzz and the late model. Let me see when we bring in Perry here, if we can talk to him real quick, bring him in. I want to just say thanks for talking with you. And Perry, are you there, buddy? Hey, Perry, thank you so much for coming on board. I saw you race last week at the Five Flag Speedway. You guys had a great run, and the car looked good, and you looked fast. Can you tell me what this whirlwind of racing is going on like? At your age at 14, you're getting started about real close to where a lot of those drivers are starting. Some start a little earlier, but obviously you wanted to get it to where you could reach the pedals. You're running go-karts. How do you go from a go-kart setup to a Buzz, and then from the Buzz, the speed that you're getting from the late model? That's got to be hard to adjust as a driver.
Well, it is. First, my dad got me a go-kart, and we started racing that. Loved it. Started doing really good. And I kept watching my dad race and race, and he kept saying, no, like, you can't get my car. And then we got a bus car.
Yeah.
And that was just, like, twice as fun. That was so much, that was so fast, so much fun. It was just the coolest thing ever. And we got a late model. And that was just so fast and the coolest thing ever.
So it just keeps going. And it, now you get help, if I'm not mistaken, right, I heard you get a crew chief, Josh Hamner, sometimes help you. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Tell us about what some of the advice. Josh is well-known and really knows how to get around any track. He knows all about setup. What kind of information has Josh told you, and how have you been able to process that info to really help you out in that late model?
Well, I mean, since he's used to drive himself and he used to be an amazing driver, like, if I'm kind of missing a turn or I need to arc it in more, I mean, that's like the tips he really gives me, and just how to drive. And, like, he said we have the same driving styles. So we're very similar in our driving styles, and he just gives me so many tips. He's, like, the best crew chief.
Oh, that's great. Now, today, you guys are getting ready to race at Op. What can you tell me? You guys were at practice last night. How's the car?
It was really good at first. We struggled a little bit. It was kind of hard to go from Pensacola to Op because I never changed tracks before. But then we started going really, really fast laps. So the car was really good.
Well, you know, I know there's lots of young drivers that listen to this show, and even younger than you, and they're just getting starting in racing. And, you know, I really love the fact that here's your dad taking you out to the track, and we do it with our kids, too, when we race. You know how racing is. Almost every weekend you're going to be at a track. But you learn as a family to embrace it, and I think your family has done that. Obviously, dad's there. You got the other family members. But to have your dad bring you into racing like that, what does that mean to you? Because here you are. You're at the track, growing up, you're like, man, I want to race. And when you finally get the opportunity to race, how did it feel to finally get in that car?
Like, pretty much nothing I could ever expect. When I first got in, it's like every single time I saw the car again, I wanted to get in.
Oh, yeah.
And then again.
Well, what are your plans for this year? Obviously, you're running everywhere you go, obviously, the go-karts. And are you going to follow more of the bigger races with the pro late models, or are you just going to travel around in this area? Obviously, being in Montgomery, you've got four good tracks to race at. You've got Montgomery, you've got Op, you got Five Flags, you got Mobile. Can you tell us what your favorite track has been so far?
So far, it's probably been Pensacola. It's a really fun track. It's really fast, really banked. Got a lot of character. And we plan to run Montgomery, Mobile, Op, Pensacola. And then, well, I love Mobile, especially because, I mean, you go there and you first get in the stands, and it's just the speed and the banking and everything.
You know, I hear that a lot, and Tim Bryant said they've had some people testing there for the super late models coming next weekend, and a lot of the drivers are saying the same thing. They love the speed and how smooth it is over Mobile. I like the fact that there's no back wall there, so if you make a little mistake, you still can save it without tearing up the equipment. And have you been involved in many accidents? Have you had that tear-up learning curve at all?
Incident at Mobile.
Yeah.
And Pensacola, I mean, we had a little tire rub and spun and kind of hit the wall pretty flat. But, I mean, it wasn't too bad of a hit. It could have been a lot worse. But we would have raced in Mobile if that wouldn't have happened the night before in Pensacola.
Right. But obviously, you got to fix the wounds and everything. Well, I know you guys got a busy start today, and I know your dad, Richard, is also going to be working on the car with Josh, obviously. But can you tell us a little bit about the sponsors who help you out, or if somebody wants to help you out and sponsor? Because I think this is going to be a name, I'm telling you, everyone, Perry Pitino. He's going to be the next thing. You're already hearing about him along the Gulf Coast, and you've already made an impression on a lot of the drivers down here. So how about sponsors, or if they want to help, how can we do that?
My sponsors right now are FA Sportswear and Road Graphs, and just obviously that's my dad, and he just helps me out with that. But then hopefully, just to get better and better at racing, and we're going on the right track right now, and just to get a couple sponsors. So, I mean, anything helps.
And obviously, you've got a website. It's perrypitino.com. Well done. You've got a lot of information on here, all the pictures of the cars, and there's a way to contact you off the website too, right? Well, we'll look forward to hopefully reading in the paper, or at least seeing on the website there at South Alabama Speedway, that you guys got your first trophy from the track tonight. So, again, I appreciate you coming on. And, Richard, again, it was an honor to have you guys on. And we'll look forward to having you guys down here on the Gulf Coast racing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much. And thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And I know, like I said, we're going to see those guys again. Appreciate them coming on board. That is Richard and also Perry Pitino. These guys are a great family. This is what it's all about in racing. If you're not familiar, you take the family to the track. They grow up at the track, and you slide them in right into your racetrack and right into your race car. That's exciting stuff right there. Hang on. We're talking NASCAR. We're talking IndyCar. Dustin Long with MRN Racing. And by the way, he's also one of the guys who are going to vote for the Hall of of Fame. We got to see what his thoughts are on that. The next 20 minutes, it's all NASCAR and IndyCar. Hang on. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And as we get started talking NASCAR, I want to thank, first of all, Kane Motorsports, all the fine sponsors that help us keep running. Pull Apart. Well, we were there this past weekend helping getting a new motor for the car since we puked it last weekend. So thank you to Greg and everybody over there. All the, obviously, the 14 McDonald's along the Gulf Coast. We appreciate having Ronald McDonald on the car and giving him all the good stuff that we do this year. ShareGodsPower.com. This is a great website. Thank you, Ray Ray. This guy is put on a website that where if you have questions about being a Christian, you don't want to be preached down to, very non-threatening, really cool website, ShareGodsPower.com. Bay City Collision right there at Cottage Hill and Lakeside. Those guys, race car drivers, hey, if you have an accident, you got to get that frame straightened. They can do it quick, about a day, actually. Performance Graphics, thank you to those guys, Auto Painter Supply, Falsac Tires, and also we've got Mobile Metro Glass and Skywatch Traffic. So now we got all those sponsors ready. We'll be ready next weekend. Friday and Saturday at Five Flags and also at Mobile International Speedway. Now we go to one of the most unique races of the year. It's the big showdown, a field of 23 cars in Charlotte at $2 million to win the All-Star Race. And one guy who's right in the middle of all of it, MRN's Dustin Long. And Dustin, good morning. And just talking off the air, you had probably one of the coolest seats for the truck race last night. Good morning.
Oh, yeah, good morning. Well, we got to spend part of the race in the MRN booth for the broadcast last night with up there with Barney Hall, Jeff Striegel, and, awesome. and Joe Moore. So it was a spectacular view. The booth is atop the roof of Charlotte Motor Speedway, so it's up there with the TV booth and everything, and it is just a fantastic view of that mile and a half speedway for sure.
Well, before we get into everything that's been going on with NASCAR, we got a lot to cover. Let's talk about, first of all, Kyle Busch. Obviously, a great win for him last night. The truck race gets his fifth career win at Charlotte. But backing up to last weekend, he discussed a little bit about his actions with Casey Kane. He doesn't think that Casey is going to get back at him. Was there contact last weekend? What's the story here?
Well, there's still a debate if there was actually any contact between Kyle Busch and Casey Kane as they were racing for the lead going into Turn 1 at Darlington late in last week's Southern 500. But, you know, Kyle went low, and the car got tight, washed up the track, and got really, really close if he didn't touch Kane, and it led Kane to hit the wall. And Kane was really frustrated and upset, and it's the third time this year that they've had an incident between the two of them. Yeah. That's led to Kane wrecking. It happened the Daytona 500. It happened the week before Darlington at Talladega. So Kane was getting frustrated about it. Kyle didn't talk to reporters after Darlington, but he did talk, yesterday at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Mm-hmm. And basically what he was saying is that, you know, we're going hard racing for the lead. He felt like Casey was better in the long run. He felt like he needed to hold his position, and he was doing everything he could. He said, hey, look, Casey did a big slide job on me in turn three, and I was coming back down low. I've been running on the low side the whole time. So, you know, I'm not going to give it up. He says, you know, Kyle says he does not expect Casey to retaliate. Says that's not Casey, but says, you know, if it happened, I'll understand.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting. So has Casey Kane said anything about this this past week?
No, I haven't really talked to him this weekend about it. And he certainly made his feelings quite clear last week after Darlington.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what's going on. Not only the Busch brothers having good runs, but Carl Edwards grabs the pole for the All-Star race tonight, and he does it with Dick Trickle's name on. Obviously, a lot of people surprised in the racing world about how that came about. Learning again, you did an article, I believe, on MRN.com talking about how his family members said that he had a lot of constant pain, a lot of chest pains, a lot of people didn't know about. So that could have been one of the reasons. But again, that's just it's a shock to hear about Dick Trickle.
It's just a tragic situation, and with his death and shooting himself a couple days ago, and it's something that's really struck me. The racing community, this is a guy who's won, you know, 1,000 or 1,500. You know, knows how many short track races he won. Particularly in the Midwest, certainly a fantastic racer. And the stories that came out when people talked about him was just about how I mean, I guess you could say Dick Trickle was truly old school racing. How he could party the night away and have very little sleep, get in the car the next day, and still wear you out on the track and beat you, even if you were in better shape. The image I have of him, the image many people have of him, is walking through the garage with a cup of coffee in one hand and a carton of cigarettes. So that was Dick Trickle, and he was quite a driver.
Well, there's another great story that Matt Kenseth talked about that you touched on. Said something about the fact that he saw him last year, and this was after the announcement came out that he was making the change over to where he's at now, and he kind of peeked his head, and Trickle peeked his head in and said, "Hey, you got any beer in here?" And they started talking, drinking beers for a couple hours, I guess, and just a lot of things Dick said he really took to heart. And, and I guess he had a lot of that wisdom, but also did it with humor, and that's what made him special.
Exactly. And that was, in one sense, that was Dick Trickle.
Yeah. Well, as we move on to that, what a great thing Carl does. He has his name on the car, and obviously that helps. And his crew chief actually was with Dick Trickle at a championship or a win. What was it?
Carl Edwards' crew chief, Jimmy Fennig, was Dick Trickle's crew chief in 1989 when Trickle won Rookie of the Year Award in Cup at age 48.
Okay, that's why I knew that was coming in. Now, the All-Star Race, this is confusing. It seems like it changes every year. So for a fan that might not always see it, not familiar, follows NASCAR that much, just checking the show out, you got a field of 23 drivers that are raced the way into the main event. You've got two different segments. The last race, you can win $2 million. Explain it. And is Danica Patrick going to get the vote in? Because somebody gets voted in, too. What's going to happen?
You just break it down. This is what the All-Star Race is typically. Jimmy Johnson wins.
$2 million. Boom.
But actually, what it's going to be this year is it's going to be a Joe Gibbs Racing car. I mean, let's just make it simple. I mean, Joe Gibbs Racing has won every race on a track more than a mile that's not a plate track. So it's been Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth. So, I would not be surprised if it was a Joe Gibbs Racing car. But essentially, it is, the race is divided into segments.
Mm-hmm.
You've got five segments. The first segments are 20 laps each. And then what you've got is the final 10 laps shootout, for the $1 million. If you win all five segments, there's a $2 million bonus. So that adds into it. But what adds a little bit more to it is that, last year Jimmy Johnson won the first segment, and the first segment winner got a start on the pole for the final segment. So basically what Jimmy did is he just coasted the rest of the race until the final 10 segment. And that ticked off a lot of fans. So they changed how they're going to line up for the final segment. What they do is the running order after the fourth segment, which is lap 80, it will be repositioned based on the average finish for the first four segments.
Jeez.
So how you
you need a calculator to keep up?
Well, yeah. What you do is your finishing order average after the first four segments. It's how you're going to line up as you head on to pit road for the mandatory four tire pit stop. Now, the order you come off pit road is how you're going to start that last segment. So you could have the best average finish through the first four segments and be the first car on pit road, but then if you botch your pit stop and come out sixth, that's where you're starting the final segment, the 10-lap segment for the $1 million. So, the pit crews do matter. As for the sprint showdown, the preliminary race, it's a 40-lap race, two 20-lap segments. The top two finishers make advance to the All-Star race, and the fan vote winner advances as long as the fan vote winner finishes the race and has a car in a raceable condition.
Right.
And, yes, the expectation and the surprise would be it would be a surprise if it was not Danica Patrick that was voted in, provided she's eligible, provided she finishes the race and her car isn't wrecked or anything like that.
Yeah, that last part.
So you would expect to see Danica Patrick among the cars. And look, if this is a special event and she's got more people voting for her, she's got more fans, then why not?
Yeah, oh, sure.
Bobby Labonte was the fan vote last year. Yeah. Should he not have been in then?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, let me ask you, as we shift gears real quick, I still want to hit a couple more things, but we're running out of time. But I want to touch on the Indy 500. You and I are both from Indiana, and I look at the speeds yesterday. The fast time was a 229.537.
Have you seen the speeds this morning?
No, tell me.
Will Powers hit 229.8.
Oh, they're so close. They're so close.
AJ Allmendinger's at 229.0, and Joseph Newgarden 228.6 in practice this morning.
Man.
They're back on the track, so they've got a few minutes left in this morning practice session, and obviously they say qualifying later today, and it should be interesting and exciting at Indianapolis.
It always is, with the bump day also coming tomorrow. Now let me ask you, is it ESPN that's got it on?
I'm focused on NASCAR, so you got
that's the other guy. That's right. Oh, hey, and trust me, in NASCAR, there's still a lot to cover. You know, I want to talk about a little bit more what you've got coming on next week. You guys, you on your Twitter and also said that, you know, you're voting for the Hall of Fame again this year. Is there anyone that really stands out, or is there a dark horse? I mean, as a vote, you have such a special privilege to vote every year. How do you weigh it out this year?
I've been doing my homework as a NASCAR Hall of Fame voter. We'll get together on Wednesday and discuss the 25 candidates, and then make our decisions, and it'll be announced at 6 p.m. On Wednesday. I still have not come to my five selections, so a lot of good candidates out there. From Dale Jarrett has been added this year. You've got Fireball Roberts, who just missed getting in last year. You've got a short tracker like a guy like Larry Phillips. You've got people like Bruton Smith on it, Richard Childress, Rick Hendrick.
Oh, wow.
You know, Benny Parsons is a candidate. Maurice Petty, Richard Petty's brother, who was the engine builder for all those years, and Wendell Scott. So there's a...
How do you weigh it all out? You do have a lot of pressure on you, because you've got in that group that you're associated with that make those decisions. There's some big notable names in there as well.
Yeah, Richard Petty's in the room. Brian France is a voter. You've got a guy like Ken Squire, Barney Hall are voters. Kyle Petty's a voter. Bud Moore, Hall of Famer, is a voter. Ned Jarrett, Hall of Famer, is a voter. So, I mean, it's 53 or 54 of us, I think, in the room. So it's fascinating to be in the room and room with those people.
I imagine. I can't wait to see your articles again. You've done such a great job this year with MRN. How do we continue to keep track of you at the track this weekend in Charlotte?
Twitter feed is at Dustin Long. It's at DustinLong. Also post stuff on my Facebook page. Also on MotorRacingNetwork.com. And if you look at the Twitter feed, I've already put out a bunch of stories that we've had from yesterday from myself and my colleague Pete Pistone. And we've also got our Gas and Go segment where we debate whether the All-Star race should move to a different track or not.
And your thoughts in 13 or 14 seconds left?
Heck no.
You just like staying home in Charlotte. Well, it makes sense. So I think that's the home of NASCAR right now, and I think more people would associate it there. So you've kind of gone on a limb and saying Jimmy Johnson's going to take it home possibly?
Joe Gibbs Racing, I think. It'd be Joe Gibbs Racing or Jimmy Johnson. So
wow.
I'm not sure if you're going to see anybody else. I mean, this is a race that sets up well for Kurt Busch if he can get there to the end. But with his style, just like Kyle Busch, but I think the Gibbs cars are just so much better right now.
Well, Dustin, I always appreciate you coming on and being very informative, and make sure we'll get you again next week. You've got a busy start heading to the track, I'm sure, right away. Dustin, thank you so much for coming on board again this morning.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Again, Dustin Long, you can find all his stuff there at MRN. That's MotorRacingNetwork.com. So we appreciate you, as always, coming on board and being part of the show. Mobile International Speedway, Five Flags Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Mobile Regional Airport now have nonstop flights to United from Chicago. And you can go on to MOBAirport.com, and you can see the low rates. Well worth it. God bless y'all. It's a rare off-race weekend for the folks at Kane Motorsports. We'll be back at it again with that brand-new motor. I'm still trying to figure out where I can put the nitrous lines in. I'm not worried about it. We'll be quick enough. God bless y'all. Have a great weekend. See you at church tomorrow.